You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
For those of us who are here or maybe watching online, can you remember your wedding day? Anyone? A few of us? Smart men who answered that, yes. Now, I won't ask you for the date because that'll get you in trouble. But, oh, that's right. Pete's smart. He's got it tattooed on his arm. He can never forget that way. It's your anniversary today. Oh, how many years? How many? 34. You get less for murder. Married him twice, he must be a good one then. So who can remember back to their wedding day? I can, and I checked the date so I wouldn't get in trouble too. It was the 20th of March back in 2011, and you might see a few shots up here. It was a beautiful day. We had a really special service with family and friends, and we were, man, look how young and cute we are. No grey hairs there, not a care in the world, huh? We were so happy to finally be coming one in marriage and to start our lives as husband and wife together. And while we thought we were ready for marriage, little did we know how truly unprepared for marriage we actually were. Don't get me wrong, we'd done marriage counselling with Papa John Meath, or Pastor John Meath. We'd had endless conversations around all kinds of topics. We'd already faced some significant challenges together in our relationship that we'd worked through and we'd overcome. But looking back, we were actually so unprepared for all that marriage required. Maybe even as I've said that, if you're married here today or online, you know, you'd say much the same. It's one thing, isn't it? It's one thing to want to be married, and it's one thing to go through the wedding day and actually get married, and then it's another thing altogether to embrace all the things that are required to build a truly healthy marriage over the long haul, yeah? So why am I sharing a message on marriage today? Well, pretty simply, it's an important thing to talk about. It's an important thing to talk about for those who are married, for those who are considering about getting married, or even for those who aren't and never want to in a million years ever get married. It's still important for you as well. Why? Quite simply because all of us need to understand and appreciate to some degree the core challenges that exist for married couples so that if we are married, we can be encouraged, we can be challenged, perhaps even gently rebuked so we get back on track. And if we're not married, so that we can be the best cheerleaders we can and best encouragers that we can for those people we know who are married. Yeah? How about we pray as we open God's word and talk marriage together today? Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for just your plans, Lord. Your plans are always better. Your plans are best. And we thank you, God, that even as we're reflecting today on marriage, it's not a creation of man, but it's your plan. It's something you instituted for the good of society, ultimately. And so, God, today as we reflect on marriage, if those of us who are married, God, as we think about how we're doing in our marriages, God, for those of us who aren't marriages, we think about, wow, marriage is a big deal. How can I get alongside people that I know and encourage them who are married? Or even those of us who are maybe in that dating sort of stage and like, wow, is that actually what's required of marriage? Oh, I don't know if I want to get married after all. Lord, whatever it is, would you just minister to our hearts and encourage us to see marriage as you see it and to develop, if we are married, to continue to invest in and develop healthy marriages that glorify and reflect you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and this is Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, reading from verse 22. Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, there ain't too many more controversial passages in Scripture for our day and age, are there? You might be thinking, man, he's gone there this morning. He is in trouble. Wait for the fan mail. Wives, submit. Like, come on, Joel, it's 2024. Husband as the head of his wife. Yeah, back in the 1800s that would fly, but not today. And look, the tragedy with all of this is, and I say we because I'm confident some of us here listening or even watching online feel this way whenever we read or we hear this passage read. We read to the end of verse 24 about the wives, and then we shut our Bibles in disgust. Or if we've got a Bible app, we swipe up to get rid of the app as quickly as we possibly can. Now, the tragedy of this is that we actually miss the beautiful marriage and life-enriching message that Paul's actually sharing through the entirety of this passage. For women and for men. What's that message? It's really simple. Marriage is not about you. Marriage is not about you. This is what Paul's getting at here. He's saying, husbands, your marriage is not about you. Wives, your marriage is not about you. You know, in our society today, our individualistic, postmodern society, this is a truly radical thought, isn't it? I mean, think about it. Just about everything that we do or pursue or invest in is about us, isn't it? That's the aim of our individualistic, self-focused society. I do what I do for my pleasure and my gain. That's pretty well the mantra of this day and age. And naturally, this has resulted in many people, including many of us even, subtly believing that marriage is yet another means to self-gratification. Yeah? You know, we might be in a dating season, desiring to meet someone and, God willing, in time, get married to someone because, you know, as Christians, we don't muck around, do we? We don't muck around. We don't date for any other reason other than seeing if we're compatible with someone else to actually be their spouse. Yeah? We don't date for any other reasons. We shouldn't at all. We're prayerfully and purposefully, as we spend time with someone else, we're discerning, God, is this my husband? Is this going to be my wife? That's why we date as Christians. Who's with me on that? Anyway, many people today see marriage as a means for self-gratification, and we can too. You know, we think, oh, well, I'll get married and then my emotional needs will finally be met. This person's going to complete me. Or I'm married, so my emotional needs should get met by my husband or my wife. Or I'll get married and then finally all my sexual desires will be fulfilled. Or I'm married and so my husband or wife should provide for me sexually and then I'll just be in marital bliss. I'll get married and you can fill in the blank for any other topic that you could throw in there. Marriage, all too often, is seen as a means for self-gratification. As Jonathan Edwards, not the old one, this is a younger one, a Christian author from Durham in North Carolina, says, marriage is a precious gift and an amazing blessing. Many of us long to experience this great joy, and rightfully so. Yet, while many have the desire, far fewer are ready, once they find marriage, to embrace the full extent of what marriage is. We dream, hope, and yearn for the marital bliss we see on the screen, but we resist anything that might threaten our own desires or freedoms in the process. We've subtly come to believe that marriage is more about self-gratification and less about self-sacrifice. You know, there's no question that this belief, the subtle and it's even often unconscious belief that marriage is more about self-gratification and less about self-sacrifice, that is really causing so much destruction in relationships and family and broader society as a result today. If you happen to watch the football from time to time, you might see an ad for one of the worst shows in the whole entire world. Married at First Sight. These are the kind of messages that we receive about marriage in society today. Selfish ones. I can't stand watching the footy now because I have to put up with this every ad break. Ridiculous shows like Married at First Sight, where experts pair couples who go into marriage looking to have all their needs met by a total stranger. Or maybe that's Channel 9. It must be Farmer Wants a Wife or whatever the other ridiculous one is on Channel 7. Popular movies, TV shows pushing the line that marriage, or in our society today, really any intimate relationship that we have exists for our own personal pleasure, to fulfill my relational wants and needs. We might listen to secular wisdom givers, maybe social media influencers, our favourite celebrity, who tell us that we need to hold out to find the perfect wife or husband, someone who completes us, and then we never find them. Or we listen to others who tell us, don't limit your personal freedom by getting married, just be in a committed relationship with another person. Stick at it until it doesn't work out any longer, like when you fall out of love, or you no longer have the connection that you once did, and then you can go ahead and consciously uncouple from that person and go your own way. You know what I'm saying? These are the messages that we hear time and time again in society. Marriage, or today, intimate relationships as a means for self-gratification. And our culture for years now has been sending us this distorted message. And tragically, many of us, even within the church, have bought it to some degree. My marriage is about me and having my needs met. Now, I'll say it straight today, because that's what you want from me, isn't it? This message is a distortion. This message is a destructive lie from Satan. It's a lie that's stealing. It's a lie that's killing. It's a lie that is destroying. It's destroying families. It's destroying marriages. And it's acting like a cancer in our broader society. And friends, this is why Paul's teaching in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33 is so important for us to engage with and not avoid today because it doesn't at first listen sound very good to our modern ears. Yeah? We shouldn't cancel the Apostle Paul. You know, our cancel culture, as soon as anyone says anything that doesn't quite fly, they just get cancelled. It's tempting to cancel the Apostle Paul because what he shares is radically different from what we hear today. But I want to suggest that it'll go well for us if we listen up and pay attention to what he's actually inviting us into. Fundamentally, as I said before, through this teaching, through this passage, he's teaching us that marriage is not about us. Marriage is not about you. And, you know, this plays out in many ways. But so we remember, I'm going to share just two insights. And here they are. The first is marriage is all about mutual sacrifice. And the second, marriage points to something far greater than us. Let's unpack these a little. Marriage is all about mutual sacrifice. What so often gets lost in Ephesians 5 is the mutual sacrifice that Paul is urging people to take on. You know, he's not saying, hey, women, submit to your husbands, and men, you got a maid, baby. Is he? He's not at all. Not at all. In fact, if we stop and we really consider what Paul's saying here, it's clear that he's calling men to man up. He's calling men to man up, lift their game, to sacrifice to an incredibly high standard for the sake of their spouse. Let's read the passage from verse 22 to 27. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Listen up. Don't tune out. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." What's Paul getting at here? Well, what he's saying is that men have a certain spiritual and practical responsibility to care for their wives, to love their wives to the same standard of selfless sacrifice we see Christ modeling in laying down his life for the church. Yeah? Like, men, just let that sink in for a sec. And if you're thinking about getting married, do you actually want to get married? Yeah, it's too late for many of us, but men are called to do anything and everything we possibly can to see our wives flourish, to see our wives truly blossom. Wow. Now, this isn't such a popular thought today, but as Denny Burke, he's the professor of biblical studies at Boyce College, suggests, he says, "This text teaches that husbands are to love their wives self-sacrificially and that wives are to follow the leadership of their husbands. Paul says that this relationship is patterned after Christ's relationship to his church." Do you see that from the text? This is no small thing, is it? Men, some of us really need to hear this. Some of us really need to sit with the weight of this call. God calls each and every one of us daily to lay down our very lives for the sake of our wives. Now, I'll actually take that further. God doesn't even just invite us, God expects us to do that. God expects that we daily lay down our lives for our wives, that we'd love our wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church. You know, if you're a married man, this is what God expects of you, but here's the good news. He's not expecting you to do that alone. The Holy Spirit will empower you to do this each and every day if you let him, but this is what God expects of us as married men. And I don't want to go all heavy on you today, but this is the reality, isn't it? One day, you'll have to answer to him for how you went about that. One day you will have to answer to him for how you went about that. You know, we can't lighten this. We can't kind of just, I don't know, make it something that it's not. Marriage is no small commitment. It's no small commitment for either party. Marriage is a great responsibility, and marriage is not about us, but about serving our spouse. And friends, this is why Ephesians, this whole passage, Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, is actually really good news for women and also for men. I mean, seriously, think about it. What wife wouldn't want to give themselves, what wife wouldn't want to be loved sacrificially by a husband who loves them like Jesus with that sacrificial love? What wife wouldn't want that? I can't possibly think of anyone who wouldn't want to be loved like that. What wife wouldn't joyfully want to submit herself to the care and leadership and love of a man who sacrificially loves her like Christ loves the church in laying down his life for her? What a beautiful, beautiful thing. That kind of love, if you know Jesus, that kind of love is something else. It's next level. And that's what God invites married men to offer their wives. And it's from that place of relational safety. Because that's what it is, isn't it? You're safe in that sort of place. You're safe with a man who loves you like that. It's from that place of relational safety that God invites women to joyfully submit to their husbands. Now, I want to make a really important point here. Paul's not saying here that women can't spiritually lead their husbands. That's not what he's saying at all. I've heard people make that argument out of this passage, and it's just simply rubbish. It's not the case at all. Paul's not suggesting that wives can't exercise spiritual leadership within their marriages. Of course they can, and they should. And for me, I am so grateful for the spiritual leadership that Laura exercises in our marriage, that's for sure. What Paul's getting at here is this. God has set apart a special service function, a selfless service function for a husband to fulfill within his marriage. What's that? To spiritually care for and nurture his bride. That's what God's called us to as Christian husbands. Denny Burke explains this well. He says, the Greek word translated as submit is hupotasso, is a word that denotes ordered relationships, especially where one party submits to another. Nowhere in the New Testament does this word ever get softened to mean serving someone else or putting their needs first. While those are good things, that simply is not what the word means. In the New Testament, the word always indicates authority and submission. And of course, that meaning is confirmed in Ephesians 5:21 by the immediate context, which clarifies, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. You know, you might hear that word submission and have bad thoughts about what that entails, but submission like this is not a curse. Submission like this is not a curse. But if a Christian husband is truly being spirit-led and is actually manning up and fulfilling his responsibility before God to love and care for his wife and do everything he possibly can to sacrifice for her, to see her flourish, then that kind of submission is actually a beautiful, empowering thing. Yeah? As I said earlier, what Christian wife wouldn't want to give herself, submit herself to a man who leads her like that? Marriage is about mutual sacrifice, the giving of one another, of each other to the other, with husbands having an incredible responsibility before God to love their wives as Christ loved the church. All right, so marriage is about mutual sacrifice. And let's think now, turn to the second point. Marriage points to something far greater than us. You know, Paul touches on this profound truth in this passage that really we could wrestle with our whole lives and never fully kind of grasp the wonder and never have the words to thank God enough. Reading from Ephesians 5:31 to 32, Paul writes, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Paul quotes Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, in that verse, verse 31, and he's marveling at the mystery of marriage. And then he says, hey, this is what this mystery is I'm talking about. It's actually pointing to Christ and the church. David Mathis, he's the executive editor at Desiring God, he explains it like this. He says, when Paul writes in Ephesians 5:32, this mystery is profound, he's not saying it's too profound to understand or express. He's not approaching a wedding day enigma, but a great, clear, compelling truth to tell. His next words disclose what was once hidden related to human marriage. I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The mystery, long hidden, is now public. Human marriage points to the God-man and his girl. Our earthly marriages are designed to reflect the wonder of Christ's love and care for his girl, his bride, otherwise known as his church. Isn't that an incredible thought? As we give of ourselves, as we sacrifice for ourselves, what are we doing? We're actually reflecting our sacrificial Savior who laid down his life for the sake of his bride. That's what Paul's getting at in this teaching around marriage. And David Mathis, again, in an article called What is the Mystery of Marriage? He goes on to say this, and I'll quote him at length because it's really good. He says, the now-solved mystery of marriage holds a lifetime of lessons for husbands and wives, but don't miss the most vital one. The most vital lesson is that even the best husband is only a poor reflection of Jesus' loving initiative, leadership, protection of, and provision for his church. God joined our first parents in the garden and men and women ever since to point us, oh so imperfectly, but truly, to the kind of love and care his Son would give his people. And Jesus doesn't break his promises to us because we're still sinful and inconsistent. He doesn't disown those who are genuinely his because we fail him. Rather, he shoulders the final responsibility and tirelessly serves us when we're exhausted and holds us up when our knees are weak. What good news it is that Christ is the husband of his church. We are indeed his friends, John 15:15, but so much more. Together, we are his wife. He gladly died for his church, and she gladly submits to the God-man. Isn't that profound? Our marriages, friends, our marriages are not about us. Marriage was and never will be about us. In an ideal sense, our earthly marriages, as it suggested, as poor a reflection they are of Christ laying down his life for the good of his bride, that is ultimately what our marriages are designed to do. They are to, in some small way, be a reflection of the sacrifice, the care, the concern, all of those things that Jesus shows and continues to show his church. Our marriages are about honoring and reflecting the one who gladly died for his bride. For you, for me, for anyone who places their faith in him, Jesus Christ. I just want to pray now. I want to close in prayer. I want to take the time now just to pray for those of us who are married, that we would allow the Holy Spirit, give the Spirit the right to come into our own lives, to encourage us where we are giving of ourselves for the good of our spouse. Maybe to spur us on to take further sacrifices where maybe, if you're anything like me, it's easy to do, isn't it? We live in a world that so often says, oh no, if it's hard for you, If it's not pleasing to you, don't do it. But Jesus says the other, the complete opposite. Now, actually, life is found in sacrifice. Life is found when you lay down your life for my sake. And when it comes to Christian marriage, your primary ministry as a husband or as a wife is to lay down your life for your spouse. And in doing so, to reflect your Savior who gave his life for you. So let's pray for that this morning. And also, I think we just need to take a moment just to praise God that he is that faithful husband. He's a faithful husband who, despite the sin of his bride, the ongoing rebellion, as Justin said this morning, we read through the Old Testament, we see through Kings, one was good, the next was bad, you know. But that's the story of our lives too, if we're actually honest with ourselves. We haven't always been faithful to Jesus. And yet, he is such a good husband to us. He's such a good husband to his church that there's nothing that we could do that will ever stop him from laying down his life for us. He's done it once, but he continues to serve and bless and care for us as a faithful husband. And so I just want to praise him for that this morning as well. As we close, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the wonder of your word, the radical countercultural calls that you put before us, Lord, to do things differently, to not throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, just because it's not so nice to our 2024 ears, modern sensibilities, but to see the wonder of your eternal truth, God, that not only can set us free, but can actually set others free as we walk in accordance with it too. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this room and online, Lord, who are married, God. We pray that you would bless their marriages greatly, richly, God, that as husbands and wives reflect on the wonderful commands that you have for them as husbands, as wives, Lord, that we would not just kind of go, oh yeah, that's nice, or, you know, I did that many years ago, but Lord, that we would be spurred on by you, Holy Spirit, to continue to outwork these profound truths in our own lives, and not just for our benefit, God, but for the benefit of our spouse. And if there's kids involved, for the benefit of our children. And ultimately, God, for the broader benefit of our society, as they see healthy, God-honoring, sacrificial marriages truly flourishing, bringing about your kingdom in a range of different ways in our dark and needy world. So God, would you do a work in marriages? Would you help us each to daily lay down our lives for the good of our spouse? And knowing that as we do that, God, we're not just doing something that's good or wise. We're actually following you in that call to lay down our lives for the good of the other. And we're reflecting you in that you laid down your life for our sake. So God, would you work in us, we pray. And Lord, I pray too, we just praise you, Jesus, for your faithfulness to us. God, in a day and age where marriages are so often, you know, face challenges or not even really challenges, and then there's conscious uncouplings or divorces just for next to no reason, God, we're just reminded that that is not your best. It sometimes is the way that it is, and there's a range of reasons why it has to be that way, particularly if there's family violence and things like that. But God, at the same time, we look to you and we look to your eternal faithfulness, that from the very beginning, the moment mankind fell, you didn't wipe them. You didn't say, oh, well, on to plan B. No, no, no. You made a way and you made promises to them that one day it won't always be like this. One day a Savior will come who will stamp on the head of the snake, but in doing so be wounded himself. And that is, of course, pointing forward to you, Jesus. And we are just in awe, God, of your faithfulness to your bride. We thank you, Jesus, that you died once and for all for the sins of mankind, And because you did, God, every single one of us have either been welcomed into your family through placing our faith in you, or have the opportunity before us to choose to trust you and to place our faith in you and be welcomed into your care and concern. We thank you, Jesus, that you were so faithful. You are eternally faithful. And even now, God, in our world, as we sometimes walk closely with you, other times get distracted from walking with you, you don't change, God. You are the eternally faithful husband. And you continue to invest. You continue to sow. You continue to invite us into intimacy with you. Because, Lord, that is actually where life is, in closeness with you. So, Lord, we just give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we pray that in those of our lives who are married, that we would reflect you faithfully as you work in our lives, Holy Spirit. And for those of us who aren't yet married or have no intention of getting married, Lord, would you spur us on to get into praying for people who are married, that people would continue to lay down their lives for the good of their spouse. It's a truly beautiful thing when that happens. And Lord, we know that your ways are always best. So would you do that, God? And would we see the fruit of our investments as you bring strained marriages alive and you bring healthy marriages to even greater levels of intimacy and fruitfulness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.